Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the EID Parry Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. We thank EID Parry's management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Suresh, Managing Director; Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-time Director and CEO; Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Parry Refinery; Mr. Y. Venkateswarlu, CFO; and Mr. Bisla Mohan Prasad, Company Secretary. I hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon to all participants. It gives me a great pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global as well as Indian scenario and explain the future of the company. On the global front, the global sugar supply surplus projected for 2023-24 has decreased by 421,000 tons of metric tons of raw equivalent compared to the March 2024 estimate to 5.58 million metric tons. This reduction was mainly pushed by upward revision in global sugar consumption, primarily on account of Brazil and Turkey. Annual growth of global sugar consumption for 2023-24 season is now estimated at 1.2% compared with the earlier estimate of 0.9%. For 2024-25 season, the sugar supply and demand balance has been revised downwards from an initial estimate of small surplus of 27,000 metric tons to 278,000 metric tons of deficit. Just like the 2023-24 season, the change in scenario is expected to be on account of higher sugar consumption estimates aided by a consumption growth in China and UAE. And on the Indian front, as of end of April 2024, sugar production has reached approximately 314 lakh metric tons, with a few mills still operational around the country. An additional volume of 5-6 lakh metric tons is expected from TN and Karnataka, with the TN scheduled to crush during the special season in the months of June 2024 and July 2024. Hence, the final net sugar production is estimated to be close to 323 lakh metric tons for sugar season 2023-24. Taking into account an opening stock of approximately 56 lakh metric tons as on October 1, 2023, and a forecasted domestic consumption of 285 lakh metric tons, the closing stock is estimated to be approximately 19 lakh metric tons by September 2024. Government considers that a closing stock equivalent to 2.5 months of consumption to be adequate. However, given the current scenario, we would be ending up with a higher closing stock. This would mean additional costs for the millers on account of the idle inventory and carrying costs. For sugar season 2024-25, the announced increase in FRP, approximately rupees 25 per quintal, and forecasted above normal monsoon augurs well for sugar production. On the Q4 performance, the standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 31st March 2024 was 717 crores, registering a decline of 11% as against 807 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes for the quarter ended was 166 crores as against 327 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the quarter was 80 crores as against a profit of 83 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. The standalone revenue from operations for the year ended 31st March 2024 was rupees 2,809 crores as against rupees 2,895 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes, and before exceptional items for the year ended was rupees 307 crores as against rupees 527 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the year ended was rupees 107 crores as against rupees 197 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. The profit after tax for the previous year ended includes an exceptional item of rupees 9 as against a net exceptional loss of rupees 111 crores on account of impairment of investment in Paris Sugar Refinery India Private Limited, Agravista Green Tech Private Limited and Alimtech, including an impairment loss of rupees 155 crores and a gain of rupees 44 crores on sale of properties relating to Puducherry and Petavachalai factories. The operating performance of the standalone sugar division was lower during the year as compared to the previous year on account of lower recoveries, higher cane costs and no exports, and also change in product mix and display on account of government policy. Overall cane crush has marginally reduced during the year from 51.81 lakh metric tons to 50.09 lakh metric tons, and overall sugar sales has reduced from 5.2 lakh metric tons to 4.64 lakh metric tons. During the year, expansion and distillery of 165 KLPD in Haliyal and Nellikuppam had reached greater degree of completion and will operate in full stream by Q1 of FY25. Further, the company has forayed into the staple space during Q4 of FY24. The standalone nutraceuticals division had registered loss during the year on account of certification issues in Europe. However, such certification issues are expected to be resolved in the near future. Refinery business volume has grown and the spread also has improved well, and the cost of reduction also has been happening. And this has resulted in the refinery posting a cash profit of rupees 12 crores. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Venkateshwar Lao, our CFO, for further details. Thank you.
Thank you, Suresh and Muthu. Good afternoon to all participants. It is a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and share key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to share with you the key operating parameters of feed segments. First, I will take up the sugar operations. So, as far as the sugar operations concerned, the Q4, we all three states we operated. So, in Nellikuppam, in Tamil Nadu, we operated Nellikuppam for 86 days and Pugalur is about 81 days. And Andhra Pradesh, we operated Sankli for the 77 days. Haliyal, Bagalkot and Ramdurg in Karnataka, about around 55 to 60 days average we carried out. The quantitative details of the sugar operations are as below. The crushing, as far as the crushing is concerned, we crushed about 79 lakhs metric tons compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year, which is about 22.95 lakhs metric tons. Recovery is at 10.69 compared to the last year. For the corresponding quarter of the previous year, it was around 11.51. The recoveries are dropped due to climatic conditions prevailing in South Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh. So as far as the production is concerned, we produced about 2.04 lakh metric tons during the quarter. Against the corresponding quarter of previous year was about 2.34 lakh metric tons. Overall cane cost, landed cost is 3,504 rupees per metric ton. And the last year's corresponding period was 3,278 rupees. Sugar sales for the quarter, we did the sales volume around 1.05 lakh metric tons. There is no exports during the quarter. And the previous year, for the same period, we have done around 1.2 lakh metric tons. That was including the exports of 32,000 metric tons. As far as the sugar selling price, price for the quarter four is concerned, 38 rupees 16 paisa per kg against previous Q4 of 36 rupees 52 paisa per kg. So closing stock, we are carrying the closing stock about 2,40,000 metric tons as an, at the end of 31st March, and we valued about 33 rupees 80 paisa per kg. The revenue from sugar quarter four was 436 crores against the corresponding period of previous year was 498 crores, registered a decline of 12.5% on account of export restrictions imposed by the government and partly offset by increase in domestic volume and prices. All FRP paid on time. So the cogen. As far as the cogen is concerned, we generated a power in Q4 about 1741 lakh units against the previous year was 2,034 lakhs units. As far as the power exports is concerned, we did around 903 lakhs units. The previous year, which was 1060 lakhs units. Average power tariff has is at 4.84 rupees per unit, as against the previous year was 5.11 rupees per unit. So as far as the revenue is concerned, Cogen for the Q4 about 77.75 crores against previous year, which was around 104 crores. So distillery operation. As far as the distillery is concerned, we did about 3.31 crore liter against previous period of 3.76 crore liter, of which 1.33 lakh liters of ENA and 1.98 crores of liters of ethanol. As price realization is concerned, the price realization is 64.49 rupees per liter against previous year realization of 62.56 rupees per liter. So as far as the revenue is concerned, for the Q4 revenue was around 224 crores compared to the 238 crores of during the previous period. So as far as the neutral operations is concerned, we did around Indian operations about 10 crores against 5 crores in the previous period. At the consolidated level, we have done around 70 crores of neutral business against the corresponding previous year, which was around 60 crores. So as far as the refinery operation is concerned, operational revenue for the Q4 is 899 crores against the previous period, corresponding previous period, 22-23, about 579 crores. PBT for the Q4 of 2023-24 is a loss of 8.56 crores against the loss of the previous corresponding period, 45 crores. Sugar production, we have done around Q4 2.49 lakhs metric tons. In Q4 of the same corresponding period, we have done around 2.29 lakhs metric tons. As far as the sales is concerned, 1.5 lakhs metric tons for the current quarter. Corresponding previous quarter, it is 1.32 lakhs metric tons. So we have a long-term loan now, which is provided by the parent, about 200 crores. The Q4 current period, the same corresponding period as well, is 200 crores. So as far as short-term loss is concerned, the Q4 ending as on 31st March, about 95 crores. Against the 31st March 23, it was around 620 crores. So as far as the operational performance of the refinery is concerned, the sales 1.51 lakhs metric tons for the current quarter, and the corresponding previous quarter, it is 1.32 lakhs metric tons. Revenue from operations, 899 crores for the current quarter, 579 crores corresponding previous year quarter. EBITDA, a positive EBITDA for the current quarter, about 56 crores. The same, it was a loss corresponding previous quarter, about 9 crores. PBT before exceptional item, positive 46.84 crores, about 37 crores, against the previous corresponding period was around 45 crores is the loss. As far as the external borrowings is concerned, it is which is in short-term nature, 95 crores as on 31st March 24, and the same as on 31st March 23, it was about 620 crores. Yeah.
Over to you, sir.
Over to.
Hello.
Gentlemen, this is the operator. Should we proceed with the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. We will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers. I just have a couple of questions. So my first question is, how are our operating parameters in the distillery segment as compared to our peers, and what's our outlook for the distillery segment for FY25?
Hi, Karan, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So, in terms of the distillery segment, obviously, towards the end of Q3, there was a policy change, and ethanol diversion was restricted. So this impacted our overall distillery EBITDA margin. On a full year basis, probably at around 12%, while this has improved from F23 of 9%, if there was perhaps no change in the policy framework, the EBITDA margins would have been closer to 16%, and perhaps on track to move closer to 20%, which is something we would have been quite happy with. Of course, we'll really have to see how policy unfolds in the coming months. In terms of comparisons to peers, we're just sort of waiting for all of the results to come through. We have to make those comparisons and see how we stack up.
Okay. And sir, secondly, we have been doing quite well in some of our other segments, like refinery has done better in this quarter. But the cogen performance has been slightly poor since last few quarters. So, what is the reason for the same, and when do we expect this to improve?
So, Venkat, you can come in here, but we had lower cane crush.
Can I take this call, Muthu?
Yeah, go ahead.
Karan, see, because as far as the cogen is concerned, you have to look at the cogen and sugar together. Because basically this major dependency of cogen, sugar division will be on the cogen. If you look at the cogen and the sugar together, marginally, yes, we have the profitability has reduced, mainly because of the recoveries and the cane cost, all the things has factored the lower profitability in sugar sector.
Also, overall volume reduction in your cogen, in your cane, has resulted in lesser quantum of power available for export. So that is another reason why the cogen profitability is also low. Once the cane volume improves, obviously the surplus sugars will go for exports and thereby improvement in the cogen profitability as well.
Okay. Sir, if I can just take the last, if I can just ask the one more question.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Sir, what's your outlook for sugar production in FY25?
It's too early to say. I think it'll be a couple of months before. You mean overall India production?
No, our company production.
Ah, okay. So from our perspective, planting has dipped in Tamil Nadu because of last year's monsoons. So there will be a challenge on this front. Karnataka, while monsoons were a little deficient, we're starting to see early summer rains, which is good. I think on Karnataka we should be okay. AP maybe a marginal dip. We don't sort of give guidance on any of our volumes or revenues, but this is the broader picture for you.
Okay, this was very helpful. Thanks a lot, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from Home Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, like, the government is planning for the 20% ethanol blending target by 2025. So, but considering the flip-flops which the government had bid in the last December, and how confident do you see the government will be able to meet the 20% blending target? Because as we know that this E20 petrol is now mostly available in southern India, and the rest of India is now, it takes time to catch up. So what is your opinion on that?
So, thank you for your question. I think from what we hear, the policymakers are still committed to these blending targets. It's obviously a very well put together policy framework. Of course, on certain compulsions, policy framework was, they made some edits to it and revised for a reduced diversion on account of perhaps food security and food price security as a priority. But, you know, with the improving climate and food situation, we're hopeful that, you know, policymakers will view this positively. It just remains to be seen when these policy decisions are taken. However, that said, while we remain hopeful, I think the grain ethanol has certainly in the last couple of months been given given some impetus and been given some encouragement. We do foresee that that to also stay on. So the originally envisaged the split between grain and sugarcane based ethanol in terms of meeting the entire blending target might see a change as things unfold. So you can expect that the ratio of grain to the ratio of sugarcane may differ, with grain moving sort of slightly higher than originally estimated when we get to steady state.
Okay, sir. Sir, considering if we, if the inflation is under control and if we have, as IMD has predicted, a good monsoon, do you foresee that the government will remove the restriction on exports?
So we remain hopeful. Obviously, official estimates from the industry are putting opening stock for the next year, the next sugar year, at almost around 9 million or perhaps a little more. This is encouraging, and it's certainly significantly above the 2.5-3 month stock, which is usually required, or at least usually sort of meant to be held comfortably. So with this in mind, we're hopeful for a couple of things. We're hopeful that they will revert to the original policy framework around ethanol blending. We're also hopeful that exports will be considered, although I will caveat by saying that global sugar prices are ruling much lower than what they did 6 months ago. Six to 9 months ago, they were probably closer to 27 cents per pound. I think they're well into the late teens right now on account of surpluses, which in the global sugar balance. So I think we must take note of that. But, you know, more importantly, I would, at least it's our view that the sugar MSP, you know, could be certainly relooked at. The MSP has stayed at 31 rupees a kilo, while the FRP has, you know, moved up on a year-on-year basis for a number of years. So I think it would be really positive for all stakeholders if the MSP is relooked at, because this is very important from the industry perspective.
Sir, just one last question. Sir, actually, what is the reason for increase of your debt level from almost 500 crores to 1,000 crores in the standalone basis?
I'll take this call question also. Because if you look at the composition of the debt, 1,000 crores, 300 crores is on account of long-term nature, which is in the projects which is in underway, so which is getting commercialized in a Q1 kind of thing. So as far as the short term is concerned, it is about 750 crores or so, because this is majorly on account of inventories are increasing it compared to the 31st March 2023. So thereby, your debt is just around 1,000 crores, but gradually it will come down by September or so.
Okay, fine, sir. That's all from my end, sir. Thanks and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gautam Devia from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on crossing 500 crores in branded sugar. So my first question is, on your slide 19, you mentioned Amrit and Jaggery is about 5,700 tons that we sold in FY24. So that's about 4% of our total branded sales. So I just wanted to get a sense, like 2-3 years down the line, what is like a realistic number we can consider as a percentage of our branded sales? Like, can this move up from 4%?
So, Gautam, thanks for your question. So this is specific to the brown segment. So if you look at that slide, you know, there's a around the entire value added piece of that portfolio, we put a little check box. That's obviously a part of the product portfolio we're giving a lot of importance to, because realizations are better, as you can see on that slide. And we will aspire to grow the value added portion of retail. While, you know, retail overall this year was about 28% of our sales in terms of volume, the value added portion of that we will aspire to grow aggressively, because it's realization accretive over the coming years.
So just to get a sense, so when you look at your white label is at 60 rupees, your Amrit is at 100, 110 is Jaggery. So on that incremental 50 rupees, how much is captured in the bottom line? Like just a brief sense.
So, you know, all of these will, you know, at a COP level will differ. They also have A&P expenses which are ascribed to them. So, you know, at steady state, and I think we're some years away from that, if you look at this business as a P&L, we need to be in the late single digit EBITDAs on an ideal basis.
Okay. And just one last question is, we've hired a COO recently. So can, is it for the branded business?
No, it's not. It's actually for the non-branded business. It's for the bulk and the institutional business and the operations of the company.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was actually asked by the earlier participant, but I was not able to get a clear answer. The retail realization is just a tad above the wholesale number of 38 odd. So despite selling products at between 45, 50 and even higher, why is the difference in the retail realization just 1 rupee or even lower than that with the wholesale number?
So, Rajesh, I think partly the answer conveyed to Gautam. I think we need to really aggressively look at growing the value-added piece, because that's when your realizations really improve. Of course, a good proportion of sales are, you know, on the retail segment are the entry-level products. While that will continue, I think in the future we will see more growth of the value-added segment, which will then start adding to that delta on realization. So I don't know which realizations you're referring to.
The one in the chart segment is 17. Page slide 17. Yeah.
I think as you see the various products, though the MRPs are also high, the cost of production and the equivalent packaging and the related processes which need to be followed to make those products are also higher. Hence, it's not that the difference in the MRPs will flow in as a bottom line. And second thing is the saliency of these high value products have to go up to get a significant addition to the bottom line. That's what CEO was referring about increasing the salience of grounds and the premium products over a period of time will improve the overall realization from the current level of around 39.
So out of this 522 crores of total sales, retail sales, how much is the sweetener part and how much is the non-sweetener part?
Non-sweetener is negligible, that is, because it only launched last year. It's all sweetener.
Okay. Fine, sir. And lastly, on the same subject, sir, would you care to, you know, enlighten us as to who are the key hires, etc., or the kind of, you know, people who are going to lead this business, and where you have this kind of visibility of growth coming from? Any other strategy which you would like to highlight on the same?
So, Rajesh, I think a gentleman who has come on board is the Chief Operating Officer. He will be responsible for the sugar and the biofuel, that's basically the sugar and the alcohol operation at the front as well as the back end. And, you know, this is to bring focus to the business and also to address succession planning. We already have a leader on the consumer product group segment who has led this initiative since it got started in 2017-18. And this individual continues to lead the consumer product group going forward. So these are, I would say, the biofuels piece, which is around the distillery segment, and the consumer product group, the biofuels piece, will really be the profitability and the cash driver for the business. And the retail segment, of course, is the future growth segment. And I think these are the two areas of growth the company is seeing going forward.
Right. If I could speak in a last question, we've seen the last three quarters of refinery profit. So is it like now all the problems, are behind us and we will be able to see continuous profitability here, or are we still going to see fluctuations in the earnings of the refinery business?
As far as the refinery business, as you said, the last three quarters we have definitely moved forward. Since we don't have a recurrence of this one-off events, we expect to build on this momentum. So we hope we should be in a position to continue this performance on the refinery in the coming years.
And there is no decision yet on the nutraceutical refinery business long-term solutions, or is it going to be continuing like that, what it is right now? Last question.
So, Radish, you're referring to Nutra and refinery, or are you just referring to one of them?
Both. Nutra and refinery, both.
So, yeah. So, we're always going to be open to look at, as I said, Nutra is under strategic review, and we're always going to be open to looking at alliances which are going to create value for the business. So, I think that's kind of where we are right now. I think when we, yeah.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anushree from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello.
You are audible, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, for a good set of results. So actually, I have some questions on the refinery part. So earlier we mentioned something about bringing a strategic partner in the business. So what's the status on that?
So Anushree, I think the same answer as I gave Radish. I think we are always open to alliances for value creation, and if we have any news at all, we'll make appropriate intimation. But there's no news to discuss at this point in time.
Okay, and I have two bookkeeping questions actually. So on slide number 41 of the presentation in the refinery performance, there you have mentioned about some impairment provision. So can you explain about it, a bit about it? What exactly is that?
Yeah, Anushree, this is an impairment provision. Is one of the overseas subsidiaries, which is there, DMCC, which is in Dubai. So this is a majorly the trading concern, which will also do the physical kind of thing. So the last couple of years, this entity is doing the business because on a conservative basis, we created a provision towards the investment because last year and before last year, there's a nominal losses we have incurred. So as a prudent basis, we have done it, the provision.
Okay, so that subsidiary is fully provided for currently, or it's partly provided?
Investment is fully provided, and the loan also partly it is provided.
Okay, and where exactly does this impairment fit in the consolidated results? Because I couldn't find any exceptional line item in the results, consolidated results.
Consolidated, this will get eliminated, right?
Okay.
It's in a 100% subsidiary, so it will get eliminated.
Okay, fine. And just another question. So, our segmental refinery profits on slide 44 is 43 crores in the refinery, PBIT. EBIT on 41 is 3.97 crores. So, I guess they don't match. So, is there any... what is the difference between the two numbers, if you could explain a bit? Or it's just a conversion issue or something?
One second. Anushree, this because when you look at the consolidation, there is a net of console adjustments will be there because there will be the sales between the subsidiaries, between the PAD and CC, what just now we spoken, where the, we will have the sales. And also PSRI refinery also will make the sales to the EAD parent. So all these console adjustments will be netted off in the results. So thereby you will not directly you can't do the plus plus equivalent to the number.
Okay. So there are no one-offs per se other than this impairment and subsidy, right?
No, other than this, nothing else is. That we can see in the standalone.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just one question regarding the consumer product division, which is mentioned on your in your presentation slide 23, that you'll be entering the millets and the pulses and rice segment. Just a way forward for this, because this would require major investments, and that has not been disclosed in the presentation. So if you could just highlight those things.
So, you know, thank you for your question. We are obviously seeing this as while we built a certain position in the sweetener space and we got a strong brand, we want to leverage the equity of the brand and leverage the distribution infrastructure that we've created across more product lines. And we've chosen these categories as they are natural extensions into other parts of one's kitchen shelf. All of these categories are also have a huge headroom in terms of branding. A lot of these categories and segments are sub 30, sub 25% branded. Sweetener, for example, is only sub 10% branded. So we do see a headroom for growth. You're right, they will need investments in partnerships and alliances. They will need investments in advertising and promotions. And that's not something we've talked about in our presentation. Our presentation largely reviews the F24 performance. So I think when we in the coming quarters and when we actually upload our next presentation F25, we'll have obviously have more information about the non-sweetener part of the consumer product group.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yes,
sir. Sir, regarding biofuel, so sustainable aviation fuel, so the ethanol has to be produced in different channels. Is our company is going into that direction, or can you throw some color on it?
Srinivas, there's no clarity from a policy perspective yet on sustainable aviation fuel. So there are still a lot of conversations and there's a lot of discovery around the whole segment. So we don't have any clarity as of yet. So we don't have a clear strategy unless, you know, a clear policy on any.
So the next question is, sir, so regarding the brand building of EAD Paddy. So you are well-known brand in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. So I mean, to get familiar with other southern states like AP and Telangana, so are you going to take up any TV ads or commercials like that?
So we do have television commercials for a number of our product lines, which we have aired in the multiple southern states. As and when required, we will do media bursts on various segments. It obviously also has to correlate with distribution. It's prudent to have a media burst when your distribution has reached a certain critical mark so that you get the best bang for the buck from the media burst. So we'll keep these parameters in mind when we choose to go on media.
Sir, but I don't see much TV ads in AP and Telangana of you.
So that's just making my point again. I think we have to build our distribution up in these states. And then subsequent to which we will evaluate media bursts in these days.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmad from SmartSync Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir. So my question that I have is, what's your plan in your
sir, sorry to interrupt. The line for you sounds muffled. I request you to please use the headset mode.
Yes. Now I'm audible?
Slightly better, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So my question is, what about your FMCG business? I'm seeing a lot of products are there, a lot of retail products. What's the medium to long-term plan for FMCG business?
Thanks for your question. Yeah, we aspire to build this business as a new growth vertical for the company. We certainly want to, you know, scale this business up. There is a as I mentioned earlier, the logic for our logic for deepening in this segment. Moreover, we are in an accelerating country wherein which you know, we looked at various segments which are going to contribute to the GDP growth of India going up to 2030, and consumer lifestyle, etc., is right up there. So I think we really believe in the opportunity that the segment presents itself. So we will aspire to grow the segment more aggressively and obviously do so profitably. At least towards the end of the decade, we want to have a business with late single-digit EBITDA and a business which is substantially larger than what it is today.
Okay, so what's the current any plans for this and revenue or from this quarter any sort
of we will refrain from giving guidance. I think giving you a broad direction in the comments earlier.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Our sugar distribution, the sweetener distribution, has moved from almost 20,000 outlets to 1.1 lakh outlets as of FY24. And I assume most of it will be in Tamil Nadu. So how do we see our distribution expanding from current 1.1 lakh outlets to, what number are we targeting or envisaging in the next 2 to 3 years? And what kind of distribution overlap is there between your sweetener business versus the staples and sugars or the FMCG business? If you can just help us understand that part, sir.
Yeah. Suresh, do you want to comment and I can come in, or do you want me to?
No, you come in, then I'll.
Yeah. So perhaps 40% is Tamil Nadu. I would say the rest is the other southern states. This has grown well in the last 3 or 4 years. However, we do feel the need for it to grow more aggressively. I think in a couple of years' time, really getting closer to 500,000 would be the sort of near to medium term objectives which we have. In terms of an overlap, and it's a very, very good question, as we launch into staples, we are realizing that there's obviously an overlap, and there's no disputing that, but we're also realizing some incremental possibilities where even products like rice are enabling us to drive distribution. So, we always thought that entry-level sweetener products would be driving distribution for us, but rice is also in some states, especially in Karnataka and AP Telangana, helping us drive some distribution in upcountry regions. So I think there's a positive synergy which we're seeing.
The value-added products which are also in the sweetness platform like your Jaggery, Amrit, etc., Amrit Gold, all these are also helping us to penetrate into more outlets as we go beyond Tamil Nadu. So those are the ones which is going to help on the sweetness side, like what Muthu explained on the non-sweetness and the staples side. The launch of the branded staples is going to help us in terms of reaching out into more and more
outlets and expanding the distribution network.
Okay. So we can assume there's almost 80 to 100% kind of an overlap between these categories.
Yeah, look, it's early days for us in the non-sweetener segment. So, you know, I could perhaps make better hypothesis of our sweetener distribution than our non-sweetener. So if I can put it you that way, but I would certainly be able to make stronger hypothesis perhaps when we come back after F25 results and onward. So just being candid.
Okay. And sir, for our staple launches, in your presentation, it is mentioned that now our commercial launch in Tamil Nadu is done. In January 24, it was completed. And in April, we have just launched in Andhra, Telangana, and Karnataka as well. And there are few more products which will be launched in this year, ready-to-cook products and other dosa batters and more. So if you can just help us understand the current status of, what kind of response you are seeing and any new innovations or products that are in the pipeline, new launches that we can expect this year?
So the launch, we've got good initial feedback. I would say placements are still going on. We still need to cover, some more ground in terms of placement. So from that respect, patients are still going on for some more time. We are seeing good feedback coming. I think the strength of the brand and the trust in the brand is very strong, and I think this is driving offtakes. In terms of new products, we will see new products and the sweetener stable in Q1. And as the distribution of the staples, the bare bone, rice, dal, millet is placed across the spectrum, we will start seeing value-added products in that realm also coming in on the lines of, dosa mixes, roti mixes, adais, upmas, so on and so forth. Just to give you a little flavor of that. Those, of course, are already under development within our own development center and in partnerships.
Okay. So just to follow up on this, sir, what kind of gross margins we can expect on this FMCG business as the product mix evolves in the next 2-3 years? I mean, just a broad range. Or is there like a criteria that we have decided that we will operate only above a certain gross margin while looking at new products, new categories? I understand because of the dynamic corporate overheads or other expenses, we won't be able to talk about EBITDA margins per se. But can you just help us understand the gross margin profile of this business over a period of time? And what kind of brand expenditure, what is our current brand expenditure and how it will evolve, in what direction it will go over the next 3 years, 2 years?
So let me start with the broader picture, and I commented on that earlier. Aspiration over the next 5 or so years, build a solid FMCG business with a late single-digit EBITDA margin. So that's kind of where we are working towards, and we're obviously aspiring to be quite prudent in terms of how we go about this. In terms of gross margins, let me start with the value-added products you talked about. So there we will aspire for gross margins north of 35%, because that would be important. On the bare bones, on the straight, which is your dal, rice, etc., you would have lesser gross margins, substantially lesser gross margins, because these are more scale products. But we exercise a lot of prudence in terms of how we go about our working capital management, our sourcing, so on and so forth, so that we keep to certain contribution targets. The millet category, as we build, will sort of come and fall in between the value added and the state in terms of where it lands on margin. So I think this is how we're seeing it. From a sweetness perspective, the value-added sweeteners are the ones, again, which are margin accretive, whereas the entry-level ones will really drive more top line and drive distribution, obviously at a positive contribution. So, sum of all parts, and amalgamating everything, the aspiration is still to deliver a single-digit EBITDA over a substantially larger business over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the brand expenditure, sir? What is the current brand expenditure and where do we see in the next 2-3 years?
So obviously, this is a very important component, the A&P spend. So to give you a perspective, it sits within the mother business right now. And brand expenditure is, if you look at F24, is about 35 to 40 CR in total.
Mm-hmm. And on what trajectory we are looking at over the next 3 years?
So look, as the categories grow, this will have to move forward. And this is where I think the value-added products and the products with higher gross margin start coming in. But, you know, they only on the back of strong distribution will we start, putting them into the market so that then they can quickly move in and the margin that they bring in clearly will start because you have to incur that A&P expenditure as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just a last question on the sourcing strategy for our rice and pulses. I mean, is it a direct procurement we are doing via a farmer network because we have, as a Murugappa group, we have an advantage of a farmer reach. So is that coming to play somewhere for direct procurements or we are procuring via agents? I mean, just want to understand how we are planning to scale up our sourcing strategy for these new staple business.
Shall I take it,
Muthu?
Go for it, Suresh.
Yeah, this... we are in the initial stages in terms of this staples launch. Initially, it is going to be a distributor sourcing and it is going to be, we have to identify the right sources in the market and get the right product as per the specifications, living up to the brand standards. And over a period of time, what you talk about as a farmer network leveraging will happen over a period of next maybe 4 to 6 years. It is not something which can be done immediately because the markets, the product, the brand, everything has to stabilize in the market. Then it has to gain some volume traction. Post that, we'll be able to get that sourcing done through our farmers. But that's a bit far away. It's not going to be in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But broadly, the group is thinking in that direction. Eventually, that's a possibility.
Yeah. There is always a possibility in that direction.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That's it from my end.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nesar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Oh, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you. So my question is with regard to, our sugar business margins and profitability. Given the kind of growth we've seen on the consumer side, reaching 500 crore plus, I just want to understand, one, what is the typical gross margin, EBITDA margin on the consumer front? And secondly, despite that growth in consumer, why is our, sugar business so much under pressure? While I understand the points that you mentioned, but I would have also assumed that the growth in consumer should have benefited us.
Hi, so yeah, Suresh, let me, I can start off. Thanks for your question. So we were talking about the A&P spend. So that's something which is a conscious now that sits within the mother business now. And I think it's a conscious investment of sorts which we're making for the future to, build brand, build the brand equity, build distribution. So that is an expense that we have to incur. Of course, our realizations on the consumer business are much higher, but there is also an A&P spend which has to be incurred. Keeping the broader future plans of the business in mind. In terms of the sugar business being under pressure, so last year the challenges were actually manifold, and that's why you've sort of seen a very challenging performance in the sugar and distillery segment. If I was to outline the challenges on climate, we had deficient rainfall. this impacted yields and subsequently impacted the recovery when sugarcane feedstock flowed through as well. And this largely in Tamil Nadu recoveries dropped substantially and to a very small extent in Andhra as well. But yields were impacted all across. We also had a change in policy framework, which we talked about earlier on this call, and that has impacted the EBITDAs of the distillery segment. We were on course to deliver, say, 16-17% EBITDAs, but we ended up only doing close to 12% on the distillery segment. So this was, again, another challenge. We had some operating and project delays in some of our plants on account of environmental challenges and, you know, delay of the new ethanol distillery projects, and we lost out on some volume and throughput there. So I would say, in terms of looking ahead, these operational delays should be behind us. I think we've made amends. From a climate perspective, it is looking to be a better climate year. So that is encouraging. From a policy framework, we talked about it. It speed up nicely. We hope the policy makers will look at these opportunities positively and revert to the old policy framework around ethanol. So, and some of these kick through, we should have stronger operating metrics going forward.
Good. And
Suresh, I don't know if you want to add anything.
It covers that very well.
Understood. Got it. And could you mention what is the gross EBITDA margin for the consumer business roughly? Given now it's 500 cross scale, any sense you can give on that?
So as I said, look, the consumer business sits within the sugar business right now. We do aspire to obviously make it a separate business unit, and I think work is going on internally on that front. It might take us a bit more time to get there, and perhaps at the time we will start. We're encouraged, of course. We see all the data internally. I think we're encouraged by where the consumer business stands, but perhaps once we've you know, been able to move forward to make it an official reporting business unit, I think we will then sort of lay the operating metrics out.
Oh, okay, and what percentage of ENP did you mention?
So it's not 35 crores last year. I think that was the ENP spend.
Got it.
Venkat, is that's correct, right? 35.
Yeah. Between 35 to 38.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. And lastly, in terms of the distillery margins between you using sugar and you using, say, grain waste or something like that, you know, when this policy persists, we can't divert sugar. What is typically for you the margin difference?
So, you know, Q4 is a good example. So that's where, you know, we would have landed up, we would have finished F24 at 16-17%. So we finished up F24 at 12%.
Okay.
So that's 5%. So you take a 5% delta.
5%.
EBITDA margin.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Majid Ahmad from SmartSync Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just need your update on your dividend and buyback.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but the line is muffled for you.
Sir, can you update on the dividend and the buybacks for this year? The shareholders. Any update on that?
Line is not clear, sir.
Am I audible now, sir?
Yeah.
Sir, any updates on dividend and buybacks for this year, FY22? Hello?
The line is not clear at all.
Sir, I am asking, what is the update on dividend and buybacks?
As such, nothing, sir.
So as of now, obviously nothing. You know. Thank you.
Majid, do you have any further questions?
No.
Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As we have no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sirs.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time and attending this call. See you in the next call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.